Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Better Sex Podcast. This is Jessa. So glad you are here with me today. I'm tackling a topic again, ADD or ADHD, and the intersection with both relationships and sex. Because I think it's important. I think, as I say, you know, with my guest, I think a lot of people have gotten a diagnosis of this, but a lot of people haven't. And I see this come up in my sex therapy practice all the time, that there's frustration in a couple over these differences. And why can't you remember this? Or why aren't you focused? Or why aren't you listening to me? Or some of the complaints that someone might have if their partner has ADD. And Lisa Schwartz is my guest today, and she's talking a lot about the different ways that this shows up and how an ADD brain is wired differently and strategies to connect in your intimate relationship and with your partner. And, you know, really, you're going to have to collaborate together in ways that work for both of you, because there are gifts in ADD too. It isn't really a disorder or a deficit. It's about, wow, a difference in functionality. So hopefully you're going to get a lot out of it. And again, you know, if this doesn't apply to you immediately or you don't think it does, I still encourage you to listen, because someone in your life, it's going to apply to them. They're going to be struggling. It's going to come up someday with your friend at a cafe, if we ever get to go out to a cafe again, whatever it is. And you will be armed with some insight already and some information. So stay tuned, and I hope you get a lot out of it. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't we start out with, I guess, maybe your interest in ADHD, how that's become part of your practice or your focus?
Sure. I myself was diagnosed with ADD, and you'll hear me go back and forth between ADD and ADHD. I was diagnosed in the years of attention deficit disorder in the 1980s, I think. It's been a while. And as a result of that, I think I have an intuition when I'm working with folks that say that something just seems very familiar to me and is also very upsetting to the person I'm working with or with the couple that I'm working with. And so I began to, as I learned about ADD for myself, I began to expand that to my clients and start to ask them questions that were asked of me.
Okay. You said back in the day when it was ADD. What's the definition of that versus ADHD? Is this an important distinction we make? Is, you know, maybe even especially as we're thinking about sexuality and a couple's relationship?
Sure. I will try not to get too political.
Okay.
Because the change in language really came from the DSM, Diagnostics and Standard Manual, that I don't particularly use. It's needed for insurance purposes and other things. So it used to be attention deficit disorder with or without hyperactivity. Then there was a new version and it became attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I don't even know if they have without the hyperactivity part.
Oh, okay.
So that's the small political piece of it. Because I was diagnosed back in the day when it was attention deficit disorder, which in and of itself is a misnomer, which I'm sure we'll get to, I tend to use that more often. And sometimes I will say to my clients ADD or ADHD and ADHD, because some people have hyperactivity. Oftentimes we think of the very gendered, the boy running around the classroom, it doesn't necessarily mean that. And also a lot of women with attention deficit disorder without that hyperactivity piece, or however they've learned to sit still and quiet, got missed with a diagnosis. So I use both.
Okay. And when you said, and what, let's get into it right now, you said one was a misnomer. What, like?
Well, actually, the whole notion of attention deficit disorder is a misnomer.
Okay.
Because it's not about not having attention, although, so to say it's a deficit, there really is, people with ADD or ADHD can in fact hyper-focus. So it's about what interests the person with ADD or ADHD that will grab attention. And the wiring is quite different. Well, I shouldn't say quite different, is different than folks that don't have ADD. So some of the tasks that are really easy for people without ADD wiring are incredibly hard to do. And I will often cite this as an example about myself for my clients. I know it can sound really easy to get a bill paid, and yet I can stare at that bill, and until it's due, like 12 hours before, it might not get done.
Huh.
And other people without that, the wiring or without some of the traits, I use both language, well, it'll come in, it gets paid, and it gets mailed out, and it's done.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering, and maybe there's no distinction here. Are you saying, so deficit is the misnomer here, I guess, yeah, right? But people with ADD are so focused on the things that interest them, it's hard to switch gears? Or is it, it's really hard to focus on something that doesn't interest you in general?
Both and.
Okay.
So it is definitely a both and, which when we talk about sexuality, perhaps one can already hear where there might be some difficulty if, say, there was a date or there was a planned activity and the person with ADD is engaged in something. And one of the other issues related to ADD is often time management. So making that transition time can also create challenges.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit before we'll go to sexuality in a second. What are some of the ways that this shows up that people might recognize and go, oh, maybe that's what's going on with me or my partner? Because, you know, because I realize at this point, a fair number of people have gotten a diagnosis, but I imagine plenty of people have not.
Great question. And that's what I was alluding to earlier when about how I got interested in ADD and sexuality, because my practice is sexuality issues.
Okay.
So that's, people come in, that's what they call me about. If they call me for something else, I usually refer them.
Okay.
So I would be working with folks around sexuality issues. And then my gut would say, I hear things like, I can't get organized. Because I would ask questions about life. I can't get organized. I can't shut my head off to be able to think about sex. My partner is always late. I don't want to be sexual with them. I'm pissed off. My partner doesn't remember to bring home the milk I had when people were going out. All these are pre-COVID examples, mostly pre-COVID examples, to stop and do the errand to get the milk when I've asked them to. Sometimes a person with ADD will say, I struggle to remember the details of the conversation. As a matter of fact, I might even make some notes during this discussion because that helps me remember. And I tell my clients a lot of times I will take notes because the act of writing helps me remember.
Yeah.
A lot of times I can't go back and read them, which I also tell them. And then I write the legible summary, which is also another sign, if you will, about illegible handwriting that I got used in handwriting. As I said, I wasn't diagnosed until I was 35. I already had a PhD. So that's a whole other story.
Right, right.
Going back to other things, I can't sit still when my partner wants to talk to me. I don't have the energy for sex. Sometimes they're impulsive behaviors. Folks with ADD, ADHD feel and think more intensely.
Huh.
So things are felt more. Sometimes that can be really positive, and sometimes that can also make it difficult to let go of arguments. On the other hand, a lot of times there's short-term memory issues. So there might have been a disagreement or just not in a good mood, and it can be gone in 10 minutes and like literally gone.
Some of these things you're describing also seem just human. Like I've got an ability to compartmentalize. I let things go quickly. My partner takes it forever to get over something. I move on, or I have trouble being present, or, you know, like where's.
For sure. And absolutely. There's a lot of humanness to the situations that I described. oftentimes it's a couple of things. It's that there are several of these qualities or traits.
Okay.
That are present. So it's not just one thing or two things. There's often a lot of struggle.
Okay.
And they're often in the category of executive functioning issues. And so that's one, that there's often more than one or two. And also it's a quality of life issue that sometimes there may only be, because there's a list of behaviors and traits, as I said, that we just talked about, and I'm sure I could go on and probably will at some point. And if there's two or three, it might be hard to even say that there is ADD. Yet if it's really significant and has made a person feel bad about themselves or really creates relationship issues, then it's often helpful to get that identified.
Okay. The other thing that's been suggested to me is that if I were only not paying attention to things that matter to you, that would be different. But somebody with ADD is also going to forget the things that impact themselves directly. You know, like it's not,
yes,
it's not selective, like, oh, I just don't care about my partner. It's like, I'm also not managing the kinds of things that I need to manage just for me.
That's absolutely a very, very important one. And that goes, I think, I'm not sure if this is what you're talking about. I think that that goes to the piece that I talked about. Folks with ADD, ADHD brains, if you will, wiring, it takes extra energy every day to go through the day. So if, for example, I want to make myself a nutritious meal, that's going to take a lot of extra time. So I might not actually do that, because it's so much easier to just grab what's in front of me, literally grab what's in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, so to me, that might be an example of what you're saying about thinking about oneself.
Right. It seems to me, if we're going to cross over to like relationships and sex, on the one hand, it seems to me there would be issues around ADD that might show up relationally, you know, your partner's frustrated or, you know, doesn't understand this or, you know, totally separate from sex itself. And then there must be ways this is actually showing up around sex and the sexual response cycle or the interactions romantically, right?
Yes. So sometimes relationally, sometimes it shows up in terms with the partner you just described who doesn't have ADD as lack of desire, which sometimes it's about anger because my partner isn't doing X and Y. So in that sense,
right.
But for the person who has ADD or ADHD, it is sometimes it's about getting bored and not being able to share that or needing to find a way to share that, that is not heard as a criticism. It is heard as about there's something, this is how my brain works and we need to up the game a little with whatever that means. It might be helpful if I use a lot of different models in terms of sexuality when working with people. But one of the models that I really like is David Reed's erotic stimulus pathway model around sexual functioning. And it's circular. And he talks about seduction, sensation, surrender, and reflection. And seduction, I start there even though it's circular.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in terms of seduction? Well, if I want to seduce my partner in a healthy way, let me clarify, and everything that I'm talking about, I want to be clear, is about healthy and consensual. So I need to know, it might take 10 steps to figure out what I need to do to plan a romantic evening that I know my partner's going to like. But if I don't think it in detail, that's going to be a lot of time and energy that I might not put into it, or that I might forget a couple of the things along the way.
Yeah.
So that's, is that answering the question?
That makes sense. Hi, it's Jessa here, taking just a quick break. Thanks for listening so far. I wanted to let you know about the sex quiz that I've put together called How Healthy Is Your Sex Life? I've taken a close look at the typical ways that I see couples get into trouble with sex, including avoidance, neglect, negativity, distraction, and boredom. And the free quiz will score your individual results based on these factors. And then I provide my recommendations and ideas, including my top 10 sex tips, which will help you make instant improvement. If you'd like to take the quiz and see how healthy your sex life is, you can do it right now at sexhealthquiz.com.
And I could go through the other parts of it if you want.
Yeah, especially if ADD is relevant to each step or stage.
For sure. And in terms of the section, my partner's trying to seduce me. I might miss it because I'm paying attention to something else, or it might be subtle. Or again, if one of the challenges of ADD is impulsivity. So I might, as a person with ADD, have this great idea and go spend $1,000 for a great room someplace without checking with my partner to see if they're available.
Okay.
That could really be a problem. Best intentions.
Right.
So folks with ADD and ADHD often have what I refer to, and I don't know, I'm gathering others do as well, a bit of a hypersensitivity to smells, to sound, to sight, to touch. For example, rarely is there a tag left in my clothing because tags itch me.
Okay.
And that's also when I hear clients talk about that. They go, oh, wait. Sometimes, and again, some of this is not just ADD related, but in particular, I think the sensitivities to tag is to light and to certain sounds. So knowing what works for me as the person, I'm being me, that's the general me, not me specifically, just to be clear, for me that I can share with a partner so we can be collaborative and creative in the seduction part and the sensation part, the surrender part, really important. That's being able to let go. And a prior guest, Peggy Kleinplatz, talks about the whole notion of being embodied, fully present with oneself, and at the same time being connected to another person. I need to be able to trust myself and to be able to be fully present, which I need to learn ways that work for me with my ADD or my ADHD that may not work for other people, to quiet my mind, to be fully present, to let go, and to be able to enjoy the pleasure, which may include orgasm and it may not. And then the reflection. And that's another part that sometimes folks with ADD struggle with, which is to learn from what they've done.
Okay.
And to be able to look back and say, what worked? What didn't work? What felt good? What would I want to do again? What might I want to change up?
Yeah.
So again, when working with clients, I use a lot of different sexuality models. And then I also have the lens of the ADD challenges.
Right. Are there other things that come to mind, given all the models that you might use, that you want to bring up where people with ADD may be challenged with sexual relationships?
Sure. And I mentioned the David Reed's model, and I mentioned briefly Peggy Kleinplatz's work about optimal sexuality, and I'll probably come back to that at the end. I also integrate Gina Ogden's A Blessed Memory, her 4D wheel. She looks at mind, spirit, body, emotion. So different aspects of us as human beings. And again, it's more of a circular model. And I'd like to start with Dennis Daly's model of sexual beingness, because that's really about the person. And that's also several different categories, if you will, of human beings, sensuality, sexuality, intimacy, identity, reproduction, and sexualization. I added an extra one that wasn't there. And sometimes they overlap and sometimes they're separate. And that model is a framework that's also in the bigger framework of cultural, social norms and messages. All of those circles are different places that can impact us as individuals, as sexual beings. Again, take that model, which for lots of people who I work with, there have been negative experiences, some very positive, but often negative. Otherwise, why would they be in a therapist's office? Mm-hmm. So it goes with the territory, unfortunately. And there's often issues of self-esteem and shame in general. And then for folks that either weren't diagnosed, which is a lot of what the folks that I see, I'm identifying people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s who have lived their life perfectly fine, yet there's always been something that hasn't felt exactly right. So there's layers of low self-esteem and shame added on. So that's another model of ways in which I address sexuality with my clients.
So with all these models, all these circles, all these sort of categories of things, it sounds like you're talking to clients about how they may experience it differently because of ADD. And then are you mostly trying to help them adapt these to them? Or are you trying to help them change to fit the model? I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, but I still want to ask it.
It's a wonderful question because for so long, people who don't learn that they look at the world differently, that their brain functions differently in our world, struggle with trying to fit into the non-ADD model.
Mm-hmm.
And struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And it's just not how our brains work.
Yeah.
I'll give you a really good example, very recent, because I was prepping for this podcast and I was working with a coach because it's the first time I've done it. I really wanted to make sure I did it well. And I think very non-linearly, and you probably even can tell from the interview, a little bit of here, a little bit of there. I know where I am sort of, and I know where I want to get back to. And she encouraged me to, or was challenged by that she thinks very linearly. And she was like, I really am stuck. I'm not really sure what to suggest. This was after we had talked a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, it just sort of, it brought home, and I can give lots of other examples of my mind and those with ADD and ADHD just think a particular way that is, there's great advantages. We're creative. We're out of the box thinkers. But we are not going to fit into, say, a Masters and Johnson linear model of sexuality.
Yeah.
Not that other people would.
I'd imagine then the work with the couples, because I've worked with clients like this myself. I'm imagining the non-ADD partner wants their partner to fit the mold. I mean, to behave like they expect them to behave or to have them function like, you know, like them. And it sounds like some of the work is going to be really helping both people realize, no, this whole thing has to adapt to fit how the ADD mind works.
Yes. And because Melissa Orlov does a lot of work around ADHD and relationships. And she's a couple of really important points. One of which is to once, because I think that what you just described is often what brings couples in if there's already, well, whether or not actually there's been an identification of ADD, because there's often disagreements and do it my way. No, do it my way. Again, many couples have this without the added issue. Sometimes it's identifying that there is ADD or ADHD. And then as a couple, it's learning to say that's a third entity in our relationship. And we need to really put that outside ourselves, know how it has impacted us, and then work together to figure out how we can collaborate in a way that's going to work for both of us, not just for the ADD person.
That's like so much of the work I'm doing with couples anyway. It's like, you've got to figure out how to collaborate for the two of you and how this can work for the two of you. So.
Exactly. For sure. A lot of this absolutely fits those folks without this added piece. Though I think to your question, there are going to be certain suggestions that just aren't going to work for the ADD person. Like saying we have to have a date every Friday night. It could work, but it also could get boring. Or it could work as long as, and this is the biggie, the person puts it in their calendar and their partner isn't upset that it has to be put in the calendar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if we can get over that hump that it doesn't mean I don't love you if I can't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it does mean that I'm really committed because I am putting it in the calendar.
If somebody comes to you who has ADD, but also a sexual issue, I mean, are you working on one of those or the other or both? Which comes first? Like, how, you know, where is it important to be? Yeah, exactly. Where is it important to address the ADD to the extent that it could be addressed versus let's just dive in and tackle the sexual issue?
I usually attempt to tackle the sexual issue because most of the folks that I've worked with haven't been diagnosed.
Okay.
And so it is going through the process of trying to do some of the sexuality work. And sometimes the relationship work then brings it up, or sometimes with the individual. I work with individuals as well. And I, as I said earlier, I hear certain things. And so we'll pause, which is kind of ironic, given that's very hard for folks with ADD to do. We'll pause the sexuality work. We'll do the evaluation around the ADD, the ADHD. Sometimes when it's very clear, I do that work. If it's borderline, I will sometimes suggest that they go have a consult with somebody who does only ADD. And then we make some decisions. And oftentimes, because people have lived their lives for years, sometimes as I said, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, it takes a while to get to acceptance of this quote unquote diagnosis. So then we go back to the sexuality. Then so it's sometimes it's parallel, sometimes it's a both end. And sometimes it's, okay, I don't want to deal with it. I've lived my life this long. And I go, okay, and we'll do the sexuality work. And then I'll say, I remember that ADD lens, this is where it's showing up.
Yeah. I like the idea of it's just sort of a lens. I like that language, that it's important to look through that lens if this is the way your brain is wired.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
So knowing that, you know, everybody's unique, we're dealing with individuals, I am going to ask you to generalize a little bit and think about, I don't know, top 3 to 5 tips you give people with ADD, specifically about sex and, you know, intimate relationships.
Absolutely. Sometimes people decide to get medicated for ADD or ADHD. Taking medication, as long as it's not going to keep them up at night, is really important. Because it does, for a lot of people, when it works, it allows for focus. So I think that that's an important tip.
Okay.
I don't think there's much is talked about the extra energy that it does take to go through the day. So if there's a plan to be sexual other than with oneself, because I don't know how much energy you need for that, it's planned on a day or evening or afternoon where there isn't a lot of other energy draining activities.
Okay.
I think that's important. The other part is in terms of the sensations, to have an environment that really works and share that with a partner or partners. I need X, I need Y. Hopefully one's partner would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if the sheets are going to be scratchy, it's not going to be really good sex.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and also about getting distracted. So if one gets distracted, to allow for that and find techniques to help bring oneself back, to also practice, which is mindfulness is used a lot, to learn some of the skills related to mindfulness. Also exercise. Exercise is such an important part of for all of us in terms of our health. Again, it's a really helpful non-pharmaceutical way of helping with ADD and ADHD wiring.
Okay. I was going to say the other thing I think I heard in a lot of your comments was maybe not novelty, but a tendency to get bored potentially if something's too predictable. So it might also be good to have conversations about how to spruce things up.
Yes, how to spruce things up. Also, to not, for the person with again, this is kind of a general comment, that it's okay. Fantasies can be a good thing. And also, as you said, a novelty can be a different room. It can be a different time. It can be changing the message about being sexual. There are ways of making it novel that don't necessarily mean you have to go. You couldn't go rent a hotel room. It doesn't mean you have to.
So I'm going to ask this question because it just occurred to me. I have no idea if there's any. Is there any data or research that people with ADD are more kinky? Because I'm thinking about the intense focus or the intense experience of eroticism like that and putting it like, wow, maybe this goes together somehow.
The answer is yes, and I can't remember where I read it. So I didn't.
But there's some correlation there that kink could be useful for or appreciated by ADHD people.
Yes.
Okay. Anything I forgot to ask or any final thought that you want to leave people with?
Yes, and thank you for that question also. Because a lot of what I probably spoke about are the challenges related to ADD and ADHD. There's also a lot of positivity. And Ned Halliwell talks a lot about it. Ned Halliwell and John Rady have a new book out, ADHD 2.0, actually, which they didn't ask me to plug it. I just think it's a good book. Because it really looks at ADHD as positive, as not a disorder, as a unique way of how we go through the world. So I think that that's really positive. And to realize that there is lots that can be learned from being creative and from being appreciated, from being creative, from thinking outside of the box, for being fun and for the passion that can come with the high emotionality with ADD. That can be really awesome. So I think that I really do. Again, I think Peggy's Kleinplatz, as I said, a prior guest, talks about optimal sexuality. I think there's a lot of ways of incorporating the hyper focus in terms of the embodiment, allowing oneself to really be in the moment. That can be awesome. And an ADD wired brain probably has a bit of an advantage of doing that.
Yeah. Oh, I love the perspective that this is a positive and a gift, not a disorder. It's just a difference. So I appreciate that. Where can people find you if they want to look you up online or learn more about what you've got to offer?
My website is sexualconcerns.com. There is an ADHD one, but that's the best one because they all filter back to sexual concerns. So that's the best one. And there's a bunch of resources, and certainly folks are welcome to email me with questions from today or comments.
Great. I'll make sure that's in the show notes too. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get-to-know-you and question-and-answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.